So the first tetrad, the first four of these 16 steps, has to do with the body, mindfulness of the body, staying with the bodily experience, what's happening in the body to a great extent. And, you know, you can go really far in practice by just staying very simple and almost physical with the breath, entering into the physicality of breathing, calming the physicality of breathing. And perhaps, you know, I kind of believe it, but you know, perhaps just doing that practice, these first four steps, it can be one's whole, one's only practice. You know, person doesn't have to go any further than that. And one of the reasons I say that is that the human being is such a interconnected system that if you kind of really go deep into one area of it, it'll affect the other areas as well. So if you really go into the body and get concentrated and focused on the breath within the body, breathing within the body, it's going to affect your mind. It's going to affect what you see and what you understand. There's going to be real shifts. The first significant kind of opening experience that I had in meditation practice happened when I gave myself over as much as I could, completely, kind of to being with the breath. I was going to be with every single breath. I wasn't going to miss one breath, one in-breath and one out-breath. I didn't care if it looked unmeditative. I was so frustrated at not being able to stay with my breath that I just was not going to let one breath get out of sight. And so I just kind of hung in there. That's all I did. My whole focus was on that. And the bell rang to end the sitting. And I said, "Oh, that's so much for that." I didn't think, you know, didn't think much of it. But then, a couple of minutes later, the experience I had was everything stopped. Everything kind of completely. It was just the most dramatic stopping of, even though there were still kind of things happening in a sense. There were some thoughts and there were some variety of things happening. The inner sense was that the whole universe had just stopped. And that got my attention. There was a degree of peace and well-being and freedom from that stopping that was nothing like I had experienced before. And I understood that it was that complete absorption in the breath that I had that sort of set the stage for the mind to be so still or open or relaxed or not caught up in its usual things that allowed something to give away when I wasn't trying. And so just the breath, just entering the world. And then there's a lot of understanding that come along as well if you kind of understand how the breathing is so connected with your inner psychological life. And then as you begin, if you kind of, it'll happen naturally as you focus on the breath, but I think it's a nice safeguard that you, if you have some sense you're tuning into or being sensitive to the calming effect of the breathing or trying to calm the breath or free the breathing as you breathe, that I think that helps the absorption process, getting engaged and involved, lost, not lost I guess, but absorbed in the whole experience of breathing. I remember once when I was a relatively new meditator, the first year or two, getting really involved in my breath. Just kind of click, that was, you know, that's, somehow I got absorbed. Just breath was breathing itself. I was the breathing. I was just there with the breath, and the breath got calmer and calmer, got more and more still, subtler and more subtler. And then finally I had an exhale that lasted a long time and there was no inhale coming. And after a while of this, I went, I'm going to die. Because, you know, you're supposed to breathe. And it took me a while to learn that it's okay to stop breathing in meditation. But it comes from, it doesn't come from holding your breath. It comes because the mind is so still, so focused, so concentrated, that I don't think you need to breathe. And so, you know. So just the breath by itself, the physicality of breath, the physical world of breath, the calming of that physical world of breathing, is a whole practice in its own right. And that's the first tetrad. Yes? Stop.
Is it on? Is it on? Okay. In the story about not letting a single breath get away, and after the bell had rung, a few minutes later you became aware that the universe had stopped. Do you mean that the universe had stopped then, or you became aware that it had stopped during that period when you were keeping track of every breath? Did it stop then, or a few minutes later?
No, it was such a dramatic shift, like something had dropped, something released, something. The moment was so dramatic, but I wouldn't say it was there before, but probably it was. You know that, I was so involved in this breath thing that there was very little space in my mind to get involved in other thoughts and ideas and being self-conscious and wondering all kinds of the other things I might be concerned about. So all that stuff fell away for a while. Even though I wasn't thinking about letting it fall away, I was just involved in that. And so I think there was a kind of a clearing out of the mind that happened. And when the bell rang, I didn't feel so different exactly. It didn't feel like I was deeply meditative. But then my mind just I think my mind was still quite relaxed and quite clear. But I wasn't making that intense effort anymore. So that combination of letting go of the intense willful effort and having the mind being quite cleaned out in a sense, then what happened was that they served tea in the meditation hall in the Zendo. So I went to, I picked up the cup of tea to drink it. And I think that concentration I had probably went into that, just completely there with the tea. That's what was going on. My mind wasn't concerned about anything else. It's kind of been cleaned out, And so then I picked up that cup of tea, and as the water touched my lips, everything stopped.
Thank you.
And that got my attention. I knew so little about meditation practice or about Buddhism at the time that I didn't go tell anyone. So I didn't get any perspective on it. And so I kind of actually went off on some strange tangent. Explored some strange tangent as a result of that. Didn't really kind of take in the significance at the time. Yeah.
I'm really not understanding what you mean when you say everything stopped. I'm not getting what you mean by that.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. It makes sense to me. You won't get it. I mean, I'm sorry. There was still activity around, and there were still some very simple thoughts happening. But it was as if the normal, maybe understanding it is that the normal sense of self, normal activity of self, selfing, self-concern, normal way of thinking about the world, engaging, connecting, just wasn't there anymore. That stopped. And so the link between the world and the self for a moment was just fallen away. And so part of the equation had gone completely still, just dropped, stopped. And you know, something. I'm sure it wasn't the end of the world. Was doing what it always does. And but there was this feeling of everything. The feeling was, the sense was, the idea was, everything here stopped. But I think that you know, what stopped was some kind of clinging, something holding, something, some activity in the inner in the mind had stopped. And because it, with the experience of the time, was a very, also a very clear sense that what was happening in the moment was not, I wasn't doing it. That was really dramatic. Things were happening, it was happening completely independent of any normal sense of self that I had. So the self stopped, the sense of self stopped. Maybe that's the best way of saying it. But I didn't want to get involved in that. It's not that important. Don't measure yourself against this thing that I had. What I was trying to say was, for me, it was a significant experience. And the point I was trying to make was that that experience happened because I was just absorbed in the breath, just doing the breath work. That's the point I was trying to get across to you. Don't go home with this stopping thing. You go home with this, yes, the breath, you know, you can just do this one thing. Just do the physicality, enter the world of the breath. And then a variety of things might happen. But I want to give you a lot of confidence that that it's a really significant thing. Just this first tetra, this first thing, just going into the breath and being with the breath in and of itself is so significant. Yeah.
When you talk about breathing with the entire body or just following the breath perhaps at the belly, do you typically try to do or suggest doing both at the same time, or is it one or the other?
So feeling the breath in the whole body, or just feeling the whole body?
Well, feeling the breath in the whole body, so the whole body seems to be breathing in, breathing in and breathing out. And sometimes I'm focusing on the belly, a spot in the belly, and I'm following the breath there, the beginning of the breath, the middle of the breath, the end of the breath. Would you advise normally when you go to the full body doing both at once, always trying to retain that sense of it in the belly or the nostrils, wherever that might be? Excuse me. Does my question make sense for you?
Well, the whole body includes the whole body, right? So then the question is, where is the center of gravity? And perhaps the diaphragm or the belly could be the center of gravity from which everything arises and passes, comes and goes. So it could be the center of the whole body. And so there is a kind of center in some place. So for me, often, I'm aware of the whole body. The center of the whole experience is often very alive, very full, somewhere in the area around my diaphragm, my belly, my stomach.
Then your sense of breathing will be the whole body expanding and contracting.
Yeah.
Mm. Thanks.
Sometimes it's like it begins down here in my lower belly. And then that's where the whole experience begins, and then it expands out from there, outwards like a wave, a ripple, it goes out. And then when I exhale, it comes back in again here.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? What did you discover when you went for a walk? Were you able to stay in touch with your breath enough to see the changes and shifts in your breathing? What did you notice?
Ironically, one thing I noticed was when the first sitting ended, my breathing relaxed. I mean, rather than there was some holding, striving, something going on during the meditation, that once the sitting ended, I was able to actually relax more, and my breathing became calmer, more comfortable at that point.
Yeah, that can, as well, understandable. That sometimes, you know, the challenge of sitting still for the period of time, or maybe the body's uncomfortable, or maybe you're trying to accomplish something. And so finally, when you know the bell's sitting going to end, then that pushing or trying, that you let go, and then you settle into a deeper place. Yeah, Paul here, maybe.
Could a mantra I noticed as I was walking, when my eyes fell on something that I liked, like a leaf, I exhaled. And then my mind started to want to make something out of that.
Make out of that realization, that's seeing that you exhaled.
Yes, mm-hmm. That it started wondering whether I would, whether clinging was associated with exhaling and aversion was associated with inhaling, because earlier in the sitting I was really having a feeling that I was breathing in so desperately, really needing the breath. And then, you know, toward the end of the sitting, I had the thought that the universe or the air and the trees were breathing me instead of me breathing, and it relaxed everything a lot.
Right. Right. So the exhale is often associated with pleasure and with release. So if you saw something you liked, maybe just enjoyed it. Oh, that's nice. Sonia.
This morning I caught myself thinking my breathing and thinking my body and not just be there and feel it, but kind of think it through. I can't really explain it, but it doesn't feel like being connected to my breathing. It just feels like totally focusing on it and really thinking it through, like from top to bottom. And then in the first sitting, I had this, I really like pelicans, and I like their eyes. They are so beautiful. I rescued a few, and I could see their eyes. They're so gorgeous. And I had this before, but this time I really kind of suddenly looked at this eye, or I saw it, or I looked through it, I don't know. But it felt so relaxing and so soothing, although yesterday I had this really sad memory. I was at the beach and I rescued a few birds, and there was one pelican, it was dead. And I just sat there and it was really sad. But during the sitting I saw this eye and was just, suddenly I could let go of everything. And then I went outside. I was actually on the phone with my husband, and my husband means a lot to me, so do the pelicans. While I was walking, I realized how I was still connected to this calmness without paying attention to it. And
connected to what?
How I was still feeling this calmness without really paying attention to it, but I felt it throughout my entire body, although I was on the phone. And I was really, it made me really happy, because this morning I was so sad. Mm. And so in the second sitting, it just felt so light and yet so grounded. It was very nice. It was like this development. And
great.
No more thinking it through.
Yeah, thank you. Take a while. And I'm curious how many of you had some sense of, or some ability to see or noticed how your breathing had been affected by your inner life, by your thoughts, your momentum of the past, or anybody want to, that's accessible to people? And what did you realize? What did you see when you saw that? So Victor, here, pass it back.
Well, I just noticed a correlation in focusing on the breath and then becoming calm. And then maybe a thought would arise and I'd go into story. And then I'd find myself in story. Oh, in story. And then look back at the breath and see how the tone of it was, and it would change. It would sort of ebb and flow between different states. I can't really say one thing or another, but they would change, and it was very interesting.
Good. Okay, thank you. So maybe up on. Oh.
Is this yeah? Two themes came up. One is, who's in charge here, really? Who's going to be doing the breathing? And, you know, taking that deep breath and then letting it go. And trust that I don't have to be in charge. And I can sit back and enjoy my breath, wherever it goes, however deep it goes, and trust my body to do that.
Beautiful. So
those are the themes. Who's in charge here? And trust that I don't have to be in charge.
Nice. That's nice. And so when you're in charge, how does that influence your breathing?
I take over the body.
And what happens to your breathing then?
It's very controlled and rigid and precise, and you take so long to take an in-breath and so long to take an out-breath. And when I let go of the control and my body breathes me, there may be a short breath followed by a long exhalation. It has a variety of experiences. I have a variety of experiences of my body breathing me. And there's no set pattern to it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Beautiful. And you have any intimation that it might be possible to let go of the control and let the breath breathe itself, but then somehow part of you very gently sends an intention, not a control, but an intention to let this thing soften even more, to relax even more, to let go of even more?
I think the intention is that I've experienced is to observe where my body goes.
Uh-huh. Just observe. Uh-huh.
At this point, to observe. That's my intention.
It's a great one, but and from that might go be good for a really long time, but there might be some kind of middle ground at some point where you don't have to just simply be somewhat passive observer, and you don't have to be the controller. But there is some way in between there where, without any strong sense of self or self-attachment, where there's a little bit of directing or choices you can make or softening or intentionality that operates as well. But it's not coming from the usual place of self-control.
That, excuse me, that experience seems to be in not controlling my body, but allowing the breath to go where it wants to go. The back thought is, well, that's not deep enough. That's not going to get that top lobe of the lung. You know, that's
uh-huh. Yeah.
So in letting go of holding my body in some way to allow the breath to go wherever it wants to seems to be somewhat of maybe the intention.
Absolutely, it's great. Thank you.
I found that I was exceedingly calm during the meditation, and when a thought would arise, I could feel my abdomen just slightly tightening. And I never realized before how much thoughts probably influenced the body to that extent. So it was a real big awareness for me.
Great. So once you saw that it would tighten up, what did you do next?
Then I just took some deeper breaths and just let the thought go and went back to the breath again.
And the breath then relaxed as well?
Yeah.
Just the type.
Very definitely.
Good. Any other observations of your breathing? So Mary, in the back.
Well, I sat right down in the very first sitting and was starting to breathe and just felt so much edge in my chest. That
so much what?
Edge. Just like really there's a lot going on, and just doing what you described without realizing it, the sort of massaging against it, it just like released all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And a lot of tears, and then my breathing really changed after that. It was much easier to breathe. It was really hard at first. It just, you know, again, breathing in felt like hitting a wall. And so, I don't know, to me the experience is just noticing that released something, and then through the releasing process, the whole breathing changed. And throughout this morning, it's been kind of ebbing and flowing through that process.
Great, thank you.
I start to realize how I slowly connect certain breathing to certain feeling tones or feelings. And the good thing about it is once I am aware of a certain breathing pattern, I know that usually now I start to panic. Or now I'd start to whatever. And this is very helpful. So I usually pick up on my breathing before I understand what mood I'll be in.
Mm. Yeah.
Good. And that's very helpful.
There's an early warning system.
Yeah, totally. It doesn't always work, but
yeah. I know. It's really good. So, so primarily today, I want to kind of focus back on this first group of four, first tetrad. We've done that now, and this, I guess, is the third time, right? This third meeting? Yeah. So third time that we've kind of focused a little bit on that from different points of view. So hoping you get a sense of how this first four steps work and different ways it might work and how it might be useful for you. And it's a great thing to explore the breath just in and of itself and get to know it deeper. And then after lunch, we'll shift now to the second tetrad, which is, as a whole, it's considered to be the mindfulness of feeling, or what's in Pali called vedana, the feeling tone. Some people call it the hedonic tone of experience. And we started there a little bit last time when we talked about experience of joy and happiness that can come with meditation. And so we'll pick up there with that in the afternoon, and I'll try to cover the next four, and with this idea of feeling tone.